Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. Hope your day's off to a good start. Coming up later this hour, politics, including the report you just heard on NPR Hourly News that Russia was paying Taliban-associated militants to attack U.S. and allied troops. We begin the hour, though, with a look at California's first-of-its-kind electric truck rule. The rule that went into effect, or I should say was passed last Thursday by the State Air Resources Board, requires certain percentages of commercial truck sales each year that they be zero-emission vehicles. By the time it's implemented in 2035, the State Air Resources Board estimates at least 15% of trucks on the road would run on electricity. We're going to talk about what the effects of this will be environmentally, as well as potential concerns about the reliability, the weight of those trucks, about the costs and the infrastructure associated with converting to electric commercial vehicles. Joining us is Senior Vehicles Analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists, Jimmy O'Day. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. What will the environmental impact of this be by the time the plan is fully implemented?
Yeah, we estimate this policy will result in 300,000 electric trucks on the road in California through 2035. So that's roughly 15% of the total trucks on the road expected then. These trucks have anywhere from 70 to 90% lower GHGs than the comparable diesel truck. So this policy will have a big impact in addition to zero tailpipe emissions.
And how does this relate to the conversion almost a decade ago of many trucks from diesel to LNG using natural gas? How does that factor into this?
Yeah, electric really is the next step in technology evolution. You don't get better than zero emissions at the tailpipe, and electric have significantly lower GHGs than natural gas.
Greenhouse gas emission, just clarify GHG, yeah.
Correct. Even on today's grid in California, which we know is getting cleaner through other state policies.
Because at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, as they move converted to natural gas, didn't that make a huge difference there in the emission output of the ports?
Well, yes and no. Unfortunately, there's still pretty significant air quality issues. If you're a community next to the ports, I don't know if you would say life has gotten too much better. But there have been emission standards that have significantly lowered tailpipe emissions from combustion vehicles. So that's definitely true.
All right. And what about the availability of commercial vehicles? Because this goes into effect beginning 4 years from now, 2024. Is it anticipated that there are going to be enough vehicles that meet the needs of truck operators to start converting the fleets?
Exactly. That's the whole point of this policy, is to increase the availability of electric trucks. So we're at a good place today where there's a lot of truck makers that have begun testing and developing, and some truck makers are, you know, that's their whole business is electric trucks. But it's really a state of pilot projects and press releases today. And what this policy will do is take us to large scale production.
All right. With us, Jimmy O'Day of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Also with us is Fred Joering, who's president of Golden State Logistics, chairman of the Harbor Trucking Association, which is a coalition of intermodal freight carriers serving West Coast ports, including L.A. and Long Beach. Ms. Joering, thank you very much for joining us. What are your concerns about starting with these percentage of sales quotas that truck manufacturers are going to have to meet?
Well, I'm glad to be on here with you, Larry. We've been testing two of the prototypes for the last year, so I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on what things to be wary of. One of the first things we ran into is the infrastructure. These two that we have completely use the power grid that comes to our warehouse and office
Two trucks use all your capacity?
It does. And this is pretty typical for warehousing and facilities through this region. There's not a lot of power coming into the warehouse. So if I were to put my 50 trucks all converted to electricity, we'd have an impossible situation. Second, it takes 11 hours to charge these trucks. So in order to charge them off peak, I have to plug them in at 9 p.m., which limits my availability time to use them. So
ideally, how many hours a day would you have those trucks on the road?
I would run them from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 4 p.m. if they had the capacity. And then I'd like to double seat them and run from 6 p.m. till 3 or 4 a.m. But that's impossible.
Okay.
So you're talking about a very expensive piece of equipment that can't be used for two shifts.
So did you have to re-outfit your warehouse then to bring in more electricity to be able to handle, you know, your customary needs and to charge the trucks?
No, I was able to use what I have for the two trucks, but I'm limited to two because of that.
Okay. And if you added more, then you'd have to increase, obviously. What about the cost of the trucks compared to the newer model diesel trucks that are available?
Well, these have a book cost of $242,000 each. Now, yes, we received a grant for those, and that made us very happy. But because of the cost of that truck, I have to insure that truck for $242,000. And at 5% insurance rate, that cost me $1,000 per truck per month. When I compare that with the diesels that we're running, and we're not running new diesels, but the cost of a diesel typically is $50,000, $60,000 for the ones you see running in the harbor. So you can see immediately the cost of insurance drops considerably, as does the cost of the unit itself.
So if there weren't incentives, even if these companies had to hit these sales figures that the state is mandating, would companies like yours be buying them without incentives, given the cost?
That would be a challenge. That would be a challenge. Hopefully there'll be incentives. Hopefully we can also get the power cost down. If I plug them in at peak periods, it's 25 cents a kilowatt. Off peak, around 14. A diesel costs 65 cents per mile in fuel to run. These use 3.5 kilowatts per mile to run. So you can see at 70 or 25 cents a kilowatt, it becomes more expensive than diesel for fuel.
We're talking with Fred Joring of Golden State Logistics, chairman of the Harbor Trucking Association. Also with us is Anthony Victoria Medense, who is communications director with the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice, a nonprofit working toward zero emission. Thank you very much, Mr. Victoria Medense, for joining us. You want to respond to what Mr. Joring was just talking about, the costs of purchase, insurance, recharging of these vehicles and how difficult that would make it to do a turnover of the fleet?
Well, I think, you know, we're moving in the right direction when it comes to transportation, especially considering that many of these communities suffer through some of the worst air pollution. You know, this is a market that is already burgeoning in the state. You know, the electric vehicle industry is one of the leading sources of job growth in California. It was the case in 2018. And we believe that, you know, we're heading in the right direction. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, but I think the innovation is there and the market is there. And the people that will reap the benefits the most are communities like ours.
And you think that the cost will come down as a result of the sales quotas having to be hit by manufacturers, just that in that scale, that they'll be able to make it more affordable?
Definitely. I think that is one of the focuses of this standard, right, of this truck rule is to make it more affordable, right, to have, you know, these fleets be prioritized in communities and to also, you know, to make sure that, you know, these smaller operators are also benefiting from this. Because, you know, I think that's the important thing to consider here.
We're talking with Anthony Victoria Medense of the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. Also with us, the Executive Vice President of the Truck and Engine Manufacturers Association, Tim Blubaugh. Mr. Blubaugh, appreciate your being with us. Is it going to be possible for the companies to meet these growing percentages of zero-emission commercial truck sales?
Hi, Larry. Glad to be here. The challenge with this rule is that the rule that CARB just approved, is that it mandates that truck manufacturers sell a certain portion of their sales into California as zero emission, but it does not mandate that anyone purchase them. And as you heard from Fred, a trucking company buys a commercial vehicle, a heavy truck, to make money, to improve the profitability of their enterprise. And if the new vehicle costs more to purchase or to operate and will not make them more profitable, they simply will not buy it. They'll choose to invest more in maintenance of their existing vehicles, and then the rule will be mandating that truck manufacturers sell something that their customers will not buy.
Well, and how do they do that? Then I guess they're forced to hit that mandate to sell for potentially less the cost of manufacturing, and they have to make it up on other vehicles? Or how do they do that if there aren't subsidies?
We do not know. We believe there needs to be subsidies. We believe that electric vehicles will cost more for the foreseeable future to purchase. They definitely have an increased cost in the infrastructure charges to put in the charging stations that are necessary to charge them. We don't know where electricity prices will go, but as Fred mentioned, they could be more expensive. So the prospect of a manufacturer selling something like this is very challenging right now.
Let me go back to Jimmy O'Day of the Clean Vehicles Program, Union of Concerned Scientists. So even with this state mandate for growing percentages of zero-emission vehicle sales, how do the companies sell if they can't get trucking companies to buy?
Yeah, we're actually seeing, I think, the opposite to what, you know, the case where companies do want these vehicles, and not necessarily for environmental reasons. We're seeing big commitments from companies like Amazon, Pepsi, Anheuser-Busch, IKEA, that want to go electric. And, you know, these aren't necessarily your greenest companies in the world. They have to be thinking about the bottom line. And where the big savings in the bottom line comes from are reduced fuel and maintenance savings. So in California, you know, we have higher electricity rates than the rest of the country. But even with those rates, there's significant savings with diesel. Throw in the California's low carbon fuel standard policy that cuts off about 10 cents per kilowatt hour for electricity when sold as a fuel. And there's a lot of savings on fuel to be made. And fuel makes up a large fraction of these vehicles' expenses. So the economics are looking good. Study after study is beginning to point that you will save money in the future with these trucks. And you have to think that that's why these companies are beginning to think that way.
Also, I assume if you're talking about these large companies that have huge fleets of delivery trucks, that they're looking at the price per vehicle being considerably less than the $242,000 that Fred Joring was talking about as the list price of the two trucks that he's using that he got via the grant.
Yeah, so vehicle prices, absolutely true, are higher today for electric than the comparable diesel. Those prices we expect to go down, and coupled with the savings from fuel and maintenance, the total cost of ownership is expected to be lower for many applications. So you can certainly find, you know, edge cases where it might not work out, the economics, but for a vast majority of vehicles, particularly those that drive, you know, a medium to high mileage and in low fuel efficient vehicles, there's going to be fuel savings and overall total cost of ownership savings.
That's Jimmy O'Day, the Union Concerned Scientist. Anthony Victoria Medense of the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. So the goal of this is that by 2035, you would see, I guess it would be around 15% of the commercial trucks would be zero emission vehicles. Can you quantify what the difference would be in air quality for the communities you represent?
I think it will make a significant difference in improving the air quality in our region. Right now, we see upwards to 20,000 trucks, diesel trucks, pass through our community a day, which and it's contributing to some of the worst, you know, like I mentioned, some of the worst air quality in the nation. It's leaving generations of families suffering from these respiratory illnesses associated with this. And so for us, it would be significant. I think, you know, obviously, this is the beginning. This rule is the start. And so we need to do more, you know, to bring in more rules, right? Because this is only one truck standard. I think in order to make headway, especially in working class communities like ours, we need to continue to push the needle for more electrification and for more zero emissions in our community.
That's Anthony Victoria Medense, the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. We have four guests who are with us providing their perspectives on California's first of its kind zero emission commercial trucking mandate, which goes into effect in 2024. And the intent is by 2035 that the percentage of trucks on the road that are all electric would be 15%. May not sound like a lot, but that in replacing those diesel trucks pointed to by air quality advocates is bringing significant change. You have questions for our guests? We're at 866-893-KPCC. Like to hear from those of you most affected by trucks. You live near freeways. You live near industrial centers with large numbers of trucks. If you're a truck driver, you're an owner-operator, you have a trucking company, I'd like to hear what you think. We're at 866-893-KPCC. Back in 1 minute on Air Talk. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up in a few minutes, it's our weekly politics update. Our analysts will be with us, and we'll also talk about the reports that U.S. intelligence determined Russia was paying Taliban-affiliated militants to attack and try and kill U.S. and allied troops in Afghanistan. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, our focus on the California Air Resources Board vote last Thursday implementing a decades-long plan of implementing mandates for the sales of all-electric commercial trucks in efforts to clean the air quality of California. Let's talk with Paul in Santa Monica. You're on Air Talk.
Yes, thank you. Fred Jervin was mentioning prices of the trucks that they had to buy at $242,000, but Tesla is selling their top-of-the-line semi-truck for $180,000, and that's got a 500-mile range, and you can fast charge it in 30 minutes, not 11 hours. So his numbers were way off from what is actually going to be happening within a year or two. And besides these parking lots and the warehouses they have, should be covered in solar. The kilowatt hours they use could be generated from the sun for pennies compared to buying diesel. So I'd like them to reconsider using realistic numbers and not these way off price numbers that they've been using.
Fred Joring of Golden State Logistics and chairman of the Harbor Trucking Association. You want to respond to Paul?
I'd love to. You know, we're talking theory versus reality in this case, Paul. I have orders put in for Tesla trucks, but we've not seen production there at all. We hear that they're supposed to have a 300-mile model and a 500-mile model, and the The range is a major, major issue in making these things viable. So if they can do that, we're hoping they're right. And if they can make it available for $150,000 to $180,000, we are hoping they're right, because that'll make a big difference. Then the only barrier we'd have to deal with is the weight of the trucks. They're 10,000 pounds more than a classic diesel. So we have an issue there. But that would solve a lot of problems if theory becomes reality.
And is the weight largely attributable to the batteries?
It is a battery issue.
Okay. And what is the range of the two trucks that you have now?
It's 150 miles.
So you're pretty limited then, round trip, on what you can do. And I assume there's no infrastructure out there for you to charge on the road. They've got to come back and charge at your warehouse?
No, there's nothing out there. We run a lot of loads from, let's say, the harbor to Mira Loma, which is 60, 65 miles. It would be very uncomfortable to make one round trip there, where in reality, in one shift, we like to make two round trips. So we do have some challenges ahead.
Jimmy O'Day, Union Concerned Scientist. What about the infrastructure ability? Is that something that's contemplated so that commercial trucks don't have to return to home base but can charge quickly on the road?
Absolutely. I know a lot of electricians that are ready to help solve this infrastructure problem. It's going to take out a build out of things that we don't have in place today. But it's nothing that we can't do. And the state has been investing in infrastructure. The California Public Utilities Commission has approved investments from the three major utilities in the state on the order of $700 million over the next 5 years for infrastructure just for heavy-duty electric trucks. So there's certainly a lot of activity and conversation happening that recognizes the need there.
Kelly in Northridge says, I own a small trucking company. Where can I buy an electric vehicle? Who's making them? How big are they? Will they have the same power as diesel ones do? Kelly, with all those questions, Jimmy O'Day?
Sure. Yeah, it depends on what kind of truck you're looking for. But the good news is there's a lot of manufacturers based in our state of California. BYD in LA County, Motive Power Systems up in the Bay Area, Lightning. Green Power Trucks, a lot of smaller names that you might not have heard of. The Fords and the GMs aren't in the game yet, but that's really the intent of this policy, is to bring those big players to this field.
Are there any concerns, Jimmy, about the excess or extra weight of the electric trucks, wear and tear on freeways, things like that?
You know, that's not my biggest concern. I think maybe more towards Fred's point, where there's certain operators that, you know, depending on what your business is, you might carry a load that's fully weighted out. But there's also a lot of operators that they might have a full truck, but it's not fully weighed out. It's cubed out. It's the volume is full, that the weight isn't an issue.
Stock with James in Brentwood. James, your question for one or more of our guests.
Yeah, I've read several articles over the last year or two that mention that there's some real possibility that electric car batteries may actually have a higher environmental impact than fossil fuels do in the mining and the heavy metals and things like that. And I'm just wondering how that's being addressed.
Jimmy O'Day, you want to take that?
Absolutely. Of course, every product that we make and sell has an environmental impact. And really the goal of policy is to reduce those impacts. And at the Union of Concerned Scientists, we've crunched those numbers. We continue to evaluate the impacts of batteries and their life cycle impacts. And a rough rule of thumb for cars, if you have an electric car, the extra energy that it takes to produce the battery for that electric car, you'll make that up with savings in about a year of operating that electric vehicle. So there certainly are impacts. Anything that we're pulling out of the ground is going to have an environmental consequence. But on the whole, an electric vehicle is much better for the environment than a diesel or combustion vehicle.
All right. I want to thank you all for being with us. That's Jimmy O'Day of the Union of Concerned Scientists, Anthony Victoria Medense of the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice, talking about the ways in which communities most affected by diesel trucking are looking to see improved air quality from getting to as much as 15% of the heavy commercial truck fleet being all electric. Fred Joring of Golden State Logistics, president of that company and chairman of the Harbor Trucking Association, and Tim Blubaugh, executive VP of the Truck and Engine Manufacturers Association. You can share your comments if you live in an area that's particularly heavily impacted by trucking, or you yourself are in the trucking industry. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org.